So good to be with you. God bless you. Thank you. Be seated if you would. I heard a story that back decades ago, they used to build, and I think there's a resurgence of this, houses with a large porch that surrounded the house. And that was a place you greeted people to figure out whether or not you wanted to let them in to the house. And I know you may not know me very well today, and I know I feel like I know you, and I'll tell you how in just a second, but I hope by the end of the day you will have greeted me and allowed me entrance into your home, and more than that, that you'll allow Jesus to be able to speak his words into your life. How I have been involved with the Trinity Church, in 1977, I grew up in Nebraska. I moved to Texas and into Amarillo specifically, and we were hungry for what God was doing, and we knew, we heard what God was doing here, and so about once a month, we would come down to Trinity. This was before this auditorium was built, and you had to come early. We left about lunchtime from Amarillo and drove down here so we could get in to a very packed out service where the presence of God was taking place. And then I remember we came down about November of 1977 for the dedication of this facility originally, and I thought, God's going to come and we're going to be sucked right out of the top of that of that thing. The impact of Trinity Church has been way beyond my life, but I'm one who can look and say thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. 55 years of ministry service, not only to Lubbock, but to beyond and the people you've impacted. So I love you, and I appreciate so much what God has done in this place. Well, I'm just a little bit more now about myself. I married my high school sweetheart. We started dating as juniors in high school and married the summer between my sophomore and junior year in college. We've been married 46 years. We have 4 married children and 15 grandchildren, and this is what that looks like with us. I'm so incredibly blessed, not only by great kids, but by a wife who loves God and has really set the mark for me. She loves God and has been a bright and shining light in my life. Well, okay, so if you brought your Bible or your smartphone or however you access the Word, if you want to follow along, turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. While you're turning there, let me just lay the story. We're in 1 Kings, there's the account of Elijah and his confrontation with the prophets of Baal. Elijah had been confronting Ahab and the nation about its apostasy and had challenged the prophets of Baal basically to a standoff. You call on your God and see if he'll consume the sacrifice. I'll call on the living God, the real God, and when it's all said and done, we'll see whose God is God. Well, obviously, God, our God, consumed the sacrifice, and as a result, the prophets of Baal were killed. And so we pick it up, having taken place in chapter 19, and it says this, that Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more so, if I do not make your life as one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went on the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. So I call this message the broom tree experience. And I think It comes out of an experience in my own life, an experience recently, earlier in the year. God's just done such amazing things in my life over 36 years of ministry. I've served in two churches, in Trinity Fellowship in Amarillo, for those 27 years, and now 14 years at Gateway Church. And I just was in transition. I was transitioning. I had spent 2 years helping to launch our Dallas campus. I turned over what I had been doing in the ministry. I turned it over to my son, and I went to help launch the Dallas campus. And then in January of this year, I transitioned that to our associate campus pastor, and I was getting ready to come back and work in our apostolic ministries. And I was just sort of in a personal crisis. Things at the campus didn't go exactly as I expected them to. Things were in transition in my life, and I felt a little disoriented. Maybe you're in one of those seasons in your life, or maybe it's even more than that. Maybe there's real discouragement because you prayed for something, you thought about something, you tried to confront something in your life, and it didn't exactly go like you thought it might. We find ourselves in these sort of circumstances, and this is the broom tree experience. We're frustrated with God, we're disappointed, discouraged, maybe we've lost hope, and we have run or withdrawn to a place to try and figure out what's going on in my life. That's where Elijah was. He had confronted kings and nations. He'd seen God do tremendous things in his life, and yet when Jezebel stood up and issued a threat against him for his life, he ran in fear. We may know this conceptually, but it's good to remind ourselves that we're in a spiritual battle. We see with our natural eyes, but we don't wrestle, Ephesians tells us, against flesh and blood. When you're in a difficult situation, a boss that you don't like, a relational conflict problem, something hasn't gone, maybe it's a health issue the way that you wanted it, and you're wrestling, you're not wrestling with the situation that your eyes can see. You're wrestling with spiritual entities and the call and the purpose that God has for your life. It's a spiritual battle. And God uses the insecurity and the self-pity and the fear of our life to further our spiritual development and pronounce the defeat of the enemy. The broom tree is where we learn some very important next level lessons on our journey with God and our service for Him. We learn to direct our emotions through our commitment to God. We learn how to draw faith from God's reservoir and not our own shallow cistern. We learn the reality of Galatians 2:20, I live, nevertheless, not I, but Christ lives in me. And we learn how to fight a spiritual battle that is a part of the day. If you're a believer today, then you are resisting the forces of darkness, and you're in a spiritual battle. James chapter 4 says that we submit to God and we resist the devil so that he flees from us. The first thing there is the broom tree experience is a place where we have to deal with the insecurities, with the doubt, with the uncertainty and self-pity of our life. That's where Elijah was. He was nursing his self-pity under the broom tree because he had been disappointed. He bought into a lie that the enemy had told him, and the lie was, you're the only one left, Elijah. Everybody else has bowed their knee. And God, through revelation, had to say to him, you're not the only one. There's hundreds that have not bowed the knee, that I have protected in this. And so don't nurse the self-pity of your life and stay in that condition under the broom tree. I have a place of greater intimacy for you. So we first have to come to grips with the disappointment, discouragement, and the self-pity that is so easy to fall into as we battle the spiritual entities against us. Here's the second thing that the broom tree does. It reveals it's a place of discovery, of trial, and of testing. He went there to hide from fear, doubt, and insecurity. He was stuck in self-pity and personal disqualification, and he ran there in fear and desperation to quit and to sulk. Maybe you're in that place today. You've done everything you know to do. You're dealing with a situation. Maybe it's a situation in your marriage or with your kids, and you go, I prayed, I've read the word, I've done everything I know to do, and it's just not working, and you're feeling sorry for yourself. You're discouraged, and you wouldn't want to say it, but maybe the truth is you're mad at God. You're mad at God that he didn't hold up his end of the bargain, that you've tried to do what you needed to do. You've been faithful. You've had your quiet time. You come to church regularly. You've even given, and God's not doing his part. It's a expectation. It's under the broom tree that we determine the necessary things that need to be dealt with in our life. What are the strongholds that the enemy has in our life? What are the lies, the iniquities that maybe we haven't dealt with that are impacting our behavior? God had other plans for Elijah in his wilderness experience, and God uses the wilderness experience for personal reflection and rededication of our commitment to him. It's a personal, it's a solitary place, but it's not an alone place. God, no matter what we're dealing with today, God is there with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. He has good plans for us, plans for good and not for evil. And we have to remind ourselves in the midst of this that we're in the process of discovery. The wilderness was a necessary path to greater intimacy with God. And depth of relationship is formed through discovery, trials, and testings. We say, well, we want to be close to you, God. We want to know you more. We want to fulfill your purpose in our generation. Then part of what we're dealing with in the circumstances of our life are the tests that will enable us to find greater intimacy and fulfillment with God. This discovery process about ourselves, it's where we confront despair and hopelessness, where we expose unmet and hidden expectations and disappointments. You know, life is filled with things that we don't expect. We have to confront the reality that we go to the doctor and we didn't expect the report. We've been praying that we'd have clean bill of health, that God would do miraculous, even bring healing into our situation, and the report tells us something different. We've been believing for a miracle in our marriage or a miracle with a child, a restoration of some event that really was lost in our life, and it doesn't come like we expected. I, for one, and I would just, rhetorical question here, I would just tell you, the way God has worked in my life over these years, 40 plus years of walking with God, is I've been surprised. Things that I expected didn't come out the way I expected, but as I reflect back, they're actually better than I thought. When I graduated from college, I was a believer, I was committed to God, and I thought what God was calling me to do was to be a Christian businessman, to step into the marketplace and from a platform of influence in the marketplace to impact people's lives, to live out biblical Christianity on a day-in, day-out basis and impact people. Well, so I took business transfers to get to Texas, and when I got here, we got involved in helping start a church, Trinity Fellowship. So excited about the possibility of being involved in something like that, and a few years into it, they needed a business administrator, and they came to me and said, would you be our business administrator? Well, it wasn't anything on my radar. I'm a business guy, and this is what God's called me to do, but they had a need, and so as I prayed about it, God, through just sovereign circumstances, said, this is what I want you to do. In my mind, I thought, I'll do this for a couple of years, and then I'm going back to business. I'll set some things in order, but I'm a business guy. I'm not called to vocational ministry. Well, 36 years later, I'm still in vocational ministry. God had a different plan. But when I look back over these years, in fact, I remember one day I was driving in Amarillo. I came to a stoplight, And when I left business, I thought, well, you know, I'm really making a huge sacrifice here. I'm not going to have the perks that I would have had as a part of my business experience. I'm sacrificing all of that. And I remember so clearly, I can see the place I was in Amarillo today when the Lord said to me, what did you give up that I haven't given to you? And in the rehearsing of the things I thought I would give up, I couldn't think of one thing. It was different than I had expected, but it was better than I expected. Part of the process of discovery and trial and testing is to move us to a place of deeper intimacy with God, and that causes us to confront the expectations and the disappointments that we have, that we thought would be one way and they've worked out another. And if you'll give it time, you'll see God is a good God and has good plans for your life and for mine. Can you say amen? Amen, Lord, thank you for that. In that process, we discover the lies that have been influencing our thought. The lie that influenced Elijah's thought was, I'm the only one. I don't know what lie the enemy might have settled into your life and how he might have used that, but they're so subtle and they begin to influence our behavior and our thinking, and we have to confront those things. We discover new aspects of our giftedness and increase our capacity to lean on God. We come to a new understanding of God's purpose or plan for our life, and we see God in a whole new light in this process under the broom tree. It's about living, Him living through us. We realize it's God's power and not our performance. There's things that open up to us as a part of the revelation. In fact, it's the revelation that brings breakthrough is connected with the testing that we're dealing with right now. You're wanting breakthrough in your life. You're wanting a deeper revelation of God. It comes through the testing that takes place. James says it this way, chapter 1 and verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness or endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, if you're in the middle of a test, let me just remind you of a few things. First, in God's economy, all His tests are open book. You can research the Scripture, you can stand on the Word, you can read the Word and find comfort and peace. You can tell yourself, this Word is true regardless of what I'm seeing today. I believe in God. It's open book. It's also pass-fail. So you could take it as many times as you need to in order to pass the test that you're in. And if you don't pass today, it'll just be one more time around the mountain. You'll experience some similar things while you're dealing with the attitude, the lie that has been told to you, the stronghold of your life, so that God can bring you to a place of greater intimacy and revelation with Him. It requires faith. I believe that God is in the middle of every circumstance of my life, even the ones that I would determine today aren't that good. He's in the middle of them, and that He rewards me if I simply press into Him and say, God, I need You, I trust You, I love You, I'm asking You to do these things. In a test, here's some things that I would encourage you to do if you're in that test today. One is, don't complain, don't quit, and don't give up. Don't complain, don't quit, and don't give up. It's the issue that Pastor Carl was talking about. Be consistent. Stay with it. Do what you know to do in this day, and do it until there's a revelation of something that you need to do different, and the situation in your life has changed. Endurance is the result of testing. It's the result of being consistent. For most of the years of my adult life, I've been a runner. And the thing that always amazes me about running is, no matter how much my endurance was built, you know, when I first started running, I would run just a couple of blocks And I'd be winded. I'd feel like I can't do anymore. I'm going to die. And then I built it to a mile. And then I built it to 3 miles. And then I built it to 5 miles. And no matter how my endurance expanded, it was quite often that when I started running, the first mile I would be out of breath, and my body would be saying, "Stop! We can't make it today. You're going to kill us." This internal thought process is happening with me. It's a part of the development, the testing endurance produces. You tell yourself today, "This you're wanting to stop. You're wanting to quit. You're wanting to," and internally is this dialogue saying, "We're not going to make it." Yes, you're going to make it. Yes, you can. The God's word is true. You can push through. If you have to slow the pace, but don't quit. Don't give up in this. This is a part of what God is doing. When it's natural, I think, when you're in the middle of a test to say, I don't like this. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to stop. When I was in Amarillo, we started a new year out, and we had an opportunity to buy an old roller skating rink. It was a Quonset hut. We were going to convert it into a gymnasium, and we were going to use it for our youth ministry. And so I, as the executive senior pastor, I took on the management of that project. We got a construction manager, and he reported to me. And as the project went on, it cost more money, and it went longer than we expected. And so Jimmy comes to me one day. Jimmy Evans was my best friend, has been my best friend for 40 years, and we were doing this in ministry together. And he comes to me and he says, "Tom, wrap it up. It's over time, it's over budget." And I said, I got it. Maybe it was that day, or certainly it was within a couple of days. The construction manager comes to me and he says, "Hey, we got a problem. They're not going to give us the inspection on our kitchen for the cafe area in this place unless we have a grease trap, and we don't have a grease trap." And I said, "Well, how much does that cost?" And he said, $25,000. I said, "Okay, do that and no more." So they start digging up the waistline coming out of the building in the front yard, and Jimmy drives by. And so as soon as he gets to the office, he comes in my office, he goes, "What is going on? They're digging up the yard." I said, yeah. "So let me tell you." And so I said, told him the story, and he goes, "Okay, do that and no more." And I said, "Gotcha." A few days later, they're putting the tables in the cafe, and the construction manager comes to me and he says, "We got a problem." And I said, "What's the problem now?" And he said, "Well, there's no backing in the walls for these tables, and if we put them in, it's not going to be very long before the kids pull them out of the walls." And I said, "Well, what's the solution?" He said, "We need to put wainscoting." You know what that is? A little wood paneling that goes up about a third of the wall, and then we can put the table into the wainscoting, and that'll fix the problem. I said, "Okay, do that and no more." Well, we were meeting during the construction. The gymnasium was done, so we were meeting a couple of times a week to play basketball over lunch. And I was in the locker room getting ready to play, and Jimmy walks in. And he goes, "Do you know what they're doing in there?" And I said, "Huh?" He said, "What don't they get about this?" And he sort of goes off, and I said, "What, Jimmy, let me tell you what happened." And so he says, "Tom, no more, no more." And I said, "Gotcha." And I really had this attitude that, look, dude, you're not in this every day. If you were, you would understand that there's just things that come up. I'm trying to get it to a close, but some stuff happens. And so a couple of days later, we were in an elders meeting, and Jimmy comes in, and he goes, "Hey, fellas, I think we have a problem. I think we have a rebellious construction manager, because he thinks of all this stuff. I've told Tom. Tom's told him, you know, we need to wrap it up, but he's not wrapping it up." And so the conversation went toward firing this construction manager. And as the conversation's going on, I'm thinking, but he's done everything I've approved. It's all necessary. And it's, you know, I'm starting to hear this wah-wah, wah-wah, wah-wah in the conversation. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm the problem. So I raised my hand, and Jimmy goes, "What?" because they were on the move to fire this guy. And I said, raised my hand. He said, what? And I said, I think the problem is me. And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, well, I'm the one who's approved all this stuff. He's brought it to me. I said, yes. And one of my friends leans over to me and says, hey, Tom, wrap it up. I said, shut up. If you would have asked me that day, I would not have defined that as a test, but that's exactly what it was. I had an internal attitude and a resistance that was working in me. And it, here's the way it worked. As the attention turned toward me and what I should have done in order to wrap it up that I didn't do, I thought, you know what? I think I'm just going to quit. They can have this thing. If they think they can do it better than me, if Jimmy thinks he can do it better than me, he can just have it. Then I thought, no, that'd be too easy. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to gather a few people around me, some of my close friends here that are elders. I'm going to tell them my side of the story. And as I'm thinking about this, this is all while the conversation's going on. And probably the countenance on my face wasn't that great. And the Lord says, you going to let me correct you? And I said, what? Lord, it is I, thy servant Tom. You know, put on my best religious response. And he said, I've been trying to correct you, but you won't let me. And I said, what? And he said, this is the thing that really got me. He said, if I cannot correct you in this, I can't trust you with what I have for you ahead. You see, the test that you and I are experiencing today isn't just about today. It's about what's coming and what God intends and how important it is that we respond correctly in the moment. Tests are all designed with God's purposes in mind. They're to build endurance. They're to create an opportunity, the gifting, to identify the gifting and skill set, to hone something or remove something out of our life that will fulfill His purposes down the road. And so, in a test, push through the temptation to quit. God is calling you to do the right thing. The flesh and the enemy are drawing you to do your own thing. You don't need somebody, some sympathetic voice around you to support what you're thinking. Yeah, you know, they just don't really appreciate you, respect you. Yeah, you ought to do your own thing. Yeah, you ought to get out of this test. Yeah, fight that. And say, I will allow God to do what He wants in my life. Genesis chapter 4 is the account of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, brothers, they brought an offering to God. Abel's was accepted by God. Cain's was rejected. And Cain develops a bad attitude. He's upset. He was disappointed in the process. And so God comes to Cain and He says, why are you angry and why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. In a test, you have to allow endurance to be formed in you, and you can't grow weary. Encourage yourself with truth. Tell yourself your feelings aren't right, they're deceptive, and build in the response of faith. Surround yourself with people that will encourage you. And here's the last thing. Remind yourself that the broom tree experience, the thing that you're dealing with right now, is the doorway to greater intimacy with God. The broom tree wasn't the final place of Elijah's resting. In fact, Elijah had gone 100 miles away from where he needed to be into the desert to find the broom tree and lay under it. And it took him 40 days of walking to get back to the mountain of God, the place that God had for him of revelation and greater intimacy. Maybe today you've made some decisions and you're a long ways from where God is. But God hasn't given up. He hasn't moved away. He's working in your broom tree experience to orient your perspective and in power and strength to move you to a place of His revelation and intimacy. You can do it today. 40 is a big deal. This idea of 40. There's so much that's tied up in 40. It symbolizes the period of testing and trial and probation on the way to the revelation of God and his purposes. God made provision for Elijah so he could make the trip. He'll make provision for you so you can make the trip. All you have to do is say yes. The intimacy of God is what's at stake. You say, well, Tom, how long will it take? I don't know. Some of it is dependent upon your response to the testing that has taken place in your life. It can take a long time if you resist the test. But it's not God's plan. His plan is to move you to the place of his provision and greater intimacy. Would you bow your heads with me today? We do this at a Gateway in every service. We just simply ask a question. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? I trust that he's working today, and if you'll ask him that question, it may not even be something related to this message. Maybe it's something completely tied. You got stuck on one part of what I was saying and you haven't moved from there because the Holy Spirit was speaking to you about an issue in your life. Would you just say yes to God? Whatever you're experiencing today, the test is for God's provision and purpose. The outcome is for greater intimacy with him in your life if you'll let him do it. I'm going to pray for you. And as I do, why don't you just say yes to God right where you are. Lord, we love you. We love that you work in our life to reveal yourself in greater and deeper ways. And we say, Lord, would you come? Would you come into our life today? And in the broom tree experience that we're dealing with, would you lead us to the place of your presence and intimacy? Bring freedom from the bondages, from the lies. Help us to resist the work of the enemy and to pass the test today. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I've enjoyed being with you today.